Comforting words. I failed to make mention of this during our prayer request, but Brother Virgil just let me know that his wife, Sister Heron, was planning on coming with him this morning, but she has been having to receive treatment for low iron numbers and had to go to the clinic this morning and have the IV put in her to get the medicine that she needed for that. And so let's certainly be in prayer for her as well. I appreciate so much the words that Brother Virgil has clearly shown us to teach us of a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and clearly distinguishing the difference between eternal and timely deliverances when we keep our eyes on Him. I want to read to you this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and very much along the same lines as where Brother Virgil was, and please pray for us during the time that we're before you. I want to start reading with verse 1 and read down through verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The scripture says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles." If the Lord will be with us this morning, I want to point out some reasons why it's important to keep the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in our memory. Reasons why it's important to keep the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in our memory. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, he's writing unto a troubled people, If any of us have read our scriptures, we understand that this morning, that this particular church was had a lot of things that were troubling it. And the Apostle Paul, as having been one that was the one of the ones that had initially come into contact with this city, and that the Lord had held him there and told him to stay there, for he had much people in this city. And the Lord blessed him to be able to constitute a church in this city. It was a people of God that had come out from the world and were serving the Lord, but they had a lot of troubles. They had they had preacher worship. They had a lack of church discipline. They had an abuse of the communion service. And I know I've gone through these over and over before, but there's just a laundry list of things that this church had. And one of them was that they had some in this particular church that did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. The Apostle Paul would say a few verses below the ones that I just read to you, if Christ be preached that he raised from the dead, why say there's some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? You know, I've said this before and I believe it to be true. Out of all the issues that this church faced, and I'm not belittling any of the other ones that they faced, to me, this one is the most troubling. They had some among them that did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. You know, Brother Virgil's already pointed out how our society has set aside today as a day to recognize the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm not opposed to people doing that. I know a lot of them do it in good faith and in trust and in their service to the Lord. I mean you can just take a look at the attire of a lot of people today and see that people who have gathered here today, it seems to be a little bit more special of a day just because of what this society has set it aside to be. And I'm not going to say that there's anything wrong with that, but I will tell you this, is that if only once a year, that's the problem with setting aside a day to recognize something that the Lord has done. Because a lot of times when we set aside a day to recognize something that the Lord has done, we neglect to do it the other 364 days a year, as opposed to recognizing what the Lord has done for us, and that is so that we can keep in memory that He came out of the grave and that He arose from the dead. Amen. That He arose from the dead. There's some reasons why the Apostle Paul told this particular church, by which also ye are saved if you keep in memory the things in which I have preached unto you. He wasn't telling them, brothers and sisters gathered at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church this morning, that if they neglect to keep these things in their memory, that they stand in some type of danger of eternal damnation. That's not what he's crying unto them. That's not what he's telling them. Praise be unto the Lord that he has not left it up to our memories to obtain our home in heaven. He left every bit of that up to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and not by our works. And I want to tell you, as I get older, and I know there's a lot of you who are older than me here today and say, you ain't even seen nothing yet. And I understand that. Let no man despise thy youth, though, I can tell you that. And I want to tell you, as it goes on year after year, my memory is not what it used to be. You can ask my wife. If you expect me to remember something, you better put it on a calendar that's going to ring something on my phone and tell me to remember it. You better send me something in writing. So a lot of times she calls me at about 1 o'clock and says, I need you to stop by and pick up A, B, or C whenever you're on the way home. I said, you better put that in writing about 4:45. Because if you even send it now, I'm going to forget whenever it's something that needs to be continuously nursed, and something that needs to be tended to. And that's what our mind needs whenever it comes to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? What are the reasons why? He said, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory the things in which I have preached unto you. Number one is so that you and I will be constantly reminded that our Lord Jesus Christ has power over death. That He has power over death. You know, that's something that you and I need to be constantly reminded of as we face these mortal bodies that are crumbling more and more day by day as it goes by, is that the Lord Jesus Christ has power over death. Not only for later on, as we'll touch on, not only for after we've gone to sleep in this body, but also recognize that He has power over the state of death that everybody in the Adamic nature is in. Everybody that is born of Adam is in a state of death. It's not a state of sickness. It's not just a state of need. It's just not a state of needing to be nursed back to health. It's a state of death, is what the Scripture describes what we are by nature. We are dead. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death hath passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Now I want to tell you, is that an uplifting view of man? To tell them that what you are by nature, according to this word, is you are by nature dead in trespasses and in sins. What can a dead man do? Can a dead man respond and come to the Lord? Can a dead man do things that are pleasing unto God? Can somebody that is in this state of death do anything in service to God Almighty? Can they serve the Lord in this state of death? You know, the Apostle Paul would say in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They cannot. They cannot serve the Lord. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The man that is still in that state of nature, still in that state of death, cannot serve the Lord. They can't even receive the things that are spiritual, for they are foolishness unto him. I want to tell you that the Scriptures describes us as being dead. As being dead. But praise be unto the Lord that the same book that teaches us that we are in a state of death and in trespasses and in sins also teaches us about an all-powerful God that it has power over the state of death that we're in. That's the reason why he said to keep in memory the things in which I have preached unto you. Our God has power over that state to lift you up out of the muck, out of the miry clay, to lift you up out of that state that you're in and to give you a life in him. You know, go over with me over to Ephesians chapter 2 for just a minute. And let's look at what the Apostle Paul twice here, the terminology that he uses to describe man. Starting with verse 1, he says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sin." Dead in trespasses and in sins. "Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." How does that describe man by nature? Does it describe him in good light? That there's a little bit of good in everybody. That's a saying that this world has popularized. There's a little bit of good in everybody. But I want to tell you, that's not what this verse right here says. It says that we were dead and trained. Notice the language. He says dead. There's a reason why it describes it as being dead. And there's a reason why over in the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, he describes what the Lord arose from was death. And that is that he had power over that grave. Just as he has power over that grave, he has power to bring you up out of that state of death. Just as he says in the next verse, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved."
Amen.
I tell you what, the Lord says, Apostle Paul says, you better keep those things in memory. You better keep those things stored. And the only way that you can keep them stored is if just as they filter out whenever you leave the house of God, if you come back and you get it filled back up, if whenever you let it filter out during the day after you've read about the graciousness and the mercy of the Lord, if you'll wake up the next morning and read those Scriptures again and let them soak back in so that you can remember what the Lord has done so that you can see His power. You know, the Lord has done some things so that we will see His power, to show us His power. You know? "For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might shew my power in thee." Why did he bring Pharaoh to the point where he did back in the book of Exodus? As he primed him and pumped him and got him just as powerful as he thought he could be. He was most powerful. I don't think I'd be lying if I said he was the most powerful man in the world at that time. And the Lord brought him down to show His children, to show those Israelites that were in that Egyptian bondage, that He had power over the most powerful man in the world. I tell you, the Scriptures teach us about a God that shows us how powerful He is. And oh, what power He showed us whenever He came up out of that grave. Whenever, as the Scripture tells us, that as He hung on that cross that day, that the Scripture says that the soldier in John chapter 19 in the 34th verse, that the soldier came to His side and that He pierced His side, and forthwith came out blood and water. Two separate liquids came forth from His body, separated. You know, y'all pray for my wife whenever I start talking about medicinal things up here, because I know she's holding her breath, because that's not my best field. I just have to go ahead and tell you. You know, she handles stuff like that around our house, and so anytime that there's somebody that's going to handle things, I found that a lot of times it's just good just to let them handle it. Just to let them handle it. I got took twice over the past 30 days at the pharmacy because I didn't know what I was doing whenever I walked in there, and I think I just had I had some type of symbol on me that immediately when that lady saw me, she saw a sucker. And I paid cash for medicine twice whenever it should have been covered by insurance, and I had to go back and get my money back both times. But you know, that doesn't happen if she knows what she's doing. As soon as I walked in the door and she saw it, she said, "Oh, it shouldn't have cost that much." But you see, I don't know that much about medicine, but I do know this. I believe, and I'm right whenever I say this, that whenever a person is dead, that those two liquids in their system become separated and they're not united anymore. And that's what happened whenever that soldier pierced his side. It came forth without blood and water, which symbolized that Jesus Christ was dead on that cross. He didn't just go to sleep whenever they put him in that. He died on that cross. And they put him in the tomb as a dead man. And 3 days later, whenever those sisters came back, 3 days and three nights later, whenever those sisters came back, and they came to the tomb of the Lord, He was not there. And I want to tell you, He was not there because He arose from that grave.
Amen.
And praise be unto the Lord that He did. And praise be unto the Lord that you and I have been blessed to be able to know that about our Savior. And I tell you, there's some reasons why we need to keep those things in memory. Not only to so that we would be reminded that the Lord has power over death. It's also a reason why the Scripture says to keep these things in memory, by which also if you keep in memory the things in which I have preached unto you, how that Jesus Christ died according to the Scriptures. You know, notice that the Apostle Paul and any of the Apostles, if you go to the book of 1 Peter in the second chapter of the Scripture, the Apostle Peter describes the Scriptures as even being a better record of even his eyewitness account. And the Apostle Paul here is not mentioning just the eyewitness accounts, just the things that people said about the Lord. He's mentioning this book that stands here before us, which is a perfect book. There's no error in it. And this book teaches us that Jesus Christ died according to the Scriptures.
Amen.
According to the Scriptures. It's a more sure word of prophecy than even the eyewitnesses of the people who saw it. This book is more sure than even the men who walked and who witnessed it. And the Scripture says that He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What's another reason why it's important for us to keep in memory the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Just so that we will remember and be reminded of our position in Jesus Christ. If we have a hope this morning that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ by His free and sovereign grace, we need to constantly be reminded that we're in the Lord Jesus Christ. That He's in us and we're in Him, and that's an unbreakable chain. And He has purchased these bodies with His own blood, and you and I need to constantly be reminded of that. So that whenever the temptation comes for us to do things with this body that are not going to be pleasing unto Him, we can be reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for our sins on the cross of Calvary, and He bought this body. We're going to get to that a little bit more here in a minute, but go over with me to Colossians chapter 1 briefly. So let's look at what we are. Colossians chapter 3. Did I say chapter 3 or chapter 1? Colossians chapter 3. He says in verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ," that's talking about a position that you are in Jesus Christ. That means that the Lord has brought you from that state of death that we just mentioned to a state of life in Him. Then you're risen with Christ. You're alive with Jesus. You've been brought out of death and trespassing and sins into a life with the Lord Jesus Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. I told you there was a lot going to be what Brother Virgil has already mentioned. Yeah, that was on my mind, just as he had said, that if you look on the world, you'll be... if you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look on the world, what was the saying?
Distressed.
For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now there, the context of dead is talking about being delivered from the state of death in and of yourself. Your nature is dead. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall He also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, the reason why that you and I need to keep the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in our memory is so that we will stand against the temptation that some of these things can bring upon us. You know, these things that are mentioned here are talking about things of our former self. You know, not in a lot of times, not just former self before the new birth. I'd venture to say former self before converted to the truth in a lot of ways. Before you had the knowledge that the Lord had delivered you from that state of death and trespassing and sins, before you were brought into a state of knowledge, of understanding what Jesus Christ had done for you, if the Lord's blessed you to be able to overcome that and to be able to see your precious Savior for who He is, and that is as a King of glory that laid it all down to come and to walk in this sin-cursed world and to endure what He had to endure to purchase you and to buy you so that you could spend eternity with Him. If you've been blessed to be able to get to that point, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, do away with those things that are of this world. That's exactly what the Lord is saying here through the pen of the Apostle Paul. He's saying, mortify, that is therefore kill, do away with, therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. He says, do away with these things. The best way to be able to do away with these things is to continually remember that the Lord Jesus Christ arose from that grave, and by His resurrection from the dead, you are alive in Him. Whenever these temptations cross your mind, and knowing that you're alive with Him, knowing that He dwells within you, think for a second whenever you're about to engage in one of these, that there's the one that's purchased that body, that is literally within your heart, that sees those things that you do. I want to tell you, that's humbling. You know, there's been a lot of times that whenever I looked over my shoulder and I saw my daddy standing there, that the thing that I was fixing to do, that he was about to witness, I didn't do anymore. I can remember one of the most embarrassing times of my life is whenever, and I think it's been a while since I told it, so maybe it'll be fresh if you've forgotten. But I can remember one time I got in trouble whenever I was in school. And my daddy, being the type of man that he was very involved in our sports growing up. And he had taken time off of his work to come up there and cook chickens to sell so that the booster club could make money for the sports. And there I was in after school detention, sitting in there with a bunch of young people that didn't have what I had. I'm not saying I don't like for everybody. I don't want to put all the blame on somebody's upbringing for how they end up. But I want to tell you, they didn't have what I had. They didn't have a dad, mom and daddy to love them like mine loved me. They didn't have somebody to correct them like mine corrected me. And there I was sitting right in the midst of them, Brother Virgil. And I saw my daddy walk through there carrying a cooler full of chickens, taking time off of his work for his son. And he looks over there, and when he sets his eyes on me, I just crumple. And it wasn't that before that I didn't know that what I had done was wrong to get me there. It's just all of a sudden He saw it. And it meant something different that day. I tell you, child of grace, today our God in heaven sees it. He's witnessed it. And whenever He sees it, whenever the conviction comes over you, praise be unto the Lord that we're not going to stop here. But I want to tell you, it should cause you hesitation to give in to those members that is warring in your body. That's what it means to walk with the Lord. It means to, Lord, I'm gonna lean upon you. I'm gonna rest upon you. I'm gonna have you fight against this old flesh with me. Because I want to tell you, child of grace, today you and I don't stand a prayer by ourselves trying to fight against them. We need the Lord's way to do it. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Whenever we want to stand against Him, we want to stand against Him doing it the Lord's way, because His way is better. His rest is better. His arm is stronger. And brothers and sisters, if we'll fight against Him, if we'll stand up against those things, I tell you, in order to fight against those things, in order to stand against those things, it's important for us to keep the resurrection in our memory. And that is that the Lord arose from the grave and He is alive and He's in our hearts alive. I tell you, child of grace, today He says to keep those things by which you are saved, if you keep in memory the things in which I preached unto you. You know, another reason why that it's important to keep the resurrection on our minds is because it reminds us that we have a mediator in heaven. Yes. That we have an intercessor in heaven, that we have an advocate in heaven. He's alive. You know, the Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 2 in the first verse, he says, little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. You know, that's a lot of what that whole last reason was. It was dedicated to encourage you to sin not. It was to encourage you not to give in to the temptations of the flesh and to not become victim of the things that the devil would have you to do in this world. He says, these things write out unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we know that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Praise be unto the Lord that just as the preacher takes you and lets you know just what a dirty, down sinner that you are, praise be unto the Lord that whenever we can follow that up and say that we know that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He paid for that sin that you committed, and He's there on the right hand of God today for you to cry unto Him so that He can have intercessor and fulfill the needs of your prayers right to the man on His left hand side, and that being God Almighty. I tell you, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You know, notice that verse in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. I probably have misquoted it. It'll probably be misquoted over and over and over again whenever people quote it. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. It doesn't say man right there. That's very important. That's very important that verse. You know, that's what makes the King James translation the best translation, is because it's a word by word translation of the Scripture. It's not a thought by thought translation. You know, the new versions of the Bible like to carry from thought to thought to thought. But God preserved His word, word by word by word.
Amen.
And there's a difference between men and man. And in that verse of Scripture that says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Do you know what the difference would have been between men and man? Is that if it would have said man right there, it would have meant that he was a mediator for all of mankind. You see the difference between that, but whenever it says men, plural, that means it's a specific, peculiar group of men, and that being His children, the ones who He bought and paid for. And brothers and sisters, because you and I have a hope in our heart that He arose from the grave, that He had power over death, we have a Savior that's alive in heaven today. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. We have a Lord that's alive. You know, He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And I want to tell you, because He's alive, you and I need to be reminded that we have a mediator and an advocate. You know, the next verse in 1 John chapter 2 says that He's the propitiation for our sins. He was the appeasement for the sins of His children in the eyes of the Father in heaven. Reasons why we need to keep the resurrection in our minds. You know, there's a lot of naysayers, we understand, that would say that it didn't happen. And, you know, the next few verses down, I read through this verse whenever I started, says that he was seen of Cephas, who was Peter, then of the 12. And after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this day, but some are fallen asleep. 500 people. Have you ever noticed that today in the court systems of this world that they've tried to get away from the strength of eyewitness testimony and they turned to the science, to DNA? It used to be that your eyewitness testimony was what was locked and sealed a court case. But even in the midst of today's judicial system, I guarantee you that there's not a trial all year round that wouldn't take 500 witnesses. 500 eyewitnesses saw this man after he came forth out of that grave, saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He was seen of above 500 brethren at once.
Yeah.
There's not an ounce of doubt in my mind. I'll say that with you say, Brother Willie, I'm going to tell you, praise be unto the Lord that none of us can ever say that there's never an ounce of doubt in our minds whenever the Lord is at work. But the resurrection ain't one I struggle with. I just have to tell you, there's a lot of things that I struggle with, just as each and every one of us have struggles, but not with the fact that Jesus Christ came out of that grave. And the reason why we need to keep it in memory is so that we'll remember that He has power over death, so that we'll remember that we our position in Him is that we're risen with Him and we're alive with Him and He's alive with us, which should control our conduct, so that we will remember that we have an advocate and a mediator in heaven and an intercessor that is alive and seated on the right hand of God today. The last reason that I want to touch on is that by keeping the resurrection of the Lord in our mind, it continually reminds us that our Lord's coming back.
Yeah.
That our Lord's coming back. You know, so often we get tangled up in this old world and get tangled up with this and with that. Think for just a second of what a glorious day that'll be. What a blessing that'll be that the trials and cares of this life and the things that are so pressing will matter no more. And it'll be because our Lord is returning to obtain that which He bought and paid for, which is your body. Which is your body. You know, whenever we read of the risen Lord, was it not the same body that He was crucified in that He arose in? I believe it was. Old Thomas had to stick his hands in the wounds to be able to confirm that indeed it was not just his soul and spirit. You know, a lot of people believe that by believing in a resurrection of the dead, that somehow you're worshiping your body. That's not true. You know, there is a lot of body worship that goes on in this world, and I'm not belittling that. There's a lot of people that will not enjoy not one pleasure that the Lord has given them here in this world and enjoying anything, well, I say good to eat. You know, I'm not saying that the stuff that is healthy, that none of it's good. I just want to tell you that I think the stuff that sometimes is not as healthy is a little bit better. That's just my experience. You know, that's the advantage that the preacher has over a lot of other folks. I get to tell you sometimes just what I think. And I like fried food. I like pork. I ate some this morning. It's not going to burn my conscience at all if I eat it for lunch and if I eat it for supper too. I love those. There's a lot of, and it doesn't mean that we're not supposed to tend and look after ourselves to an extent. But you know, you can fall into another ditch in that as well. And you know, every time you put a mouthful in your mouth, you're counting calories, counting this number, counting that number, as opposed to enjoying. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes says that it's nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and make his soul enjoy good in his labor. For this I saw that it was from the hand of God. I want to tell you, the Lord has given us those things to enjoy here. But just by observing and believing that it is indeed these bodies that the Lord is going to raise out of those graves, and that is in these bodies, in a changed state, in a glorified state, that we're going to go to heaven to be with our Lord, is not worshiping the body. What we're doing is saying that just as the Lord formed man out of the miry clay of this earth, so is the man going to form every single one of his blood-bought children. He's going to give them that body that they had once again, give them that body that they once had, and glorify that body and take that body home to be with Him. You know, go with me over to verse 50 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where I started. In 1 Corinthians 15. He said, starting with verse 50, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." See, he's talking about our bodies before they're changed into that glorified state. In this state, we're flesh and blood. In this state, we are corrupt. In this state, because if we weren't corrupt, if there was no corruption in this flesh, then we wouldn't die. The wages of sin is death, and because we are sinners, because we do sin, that's the reason why we face death here in this world. But he says, he's talking about he says in the next verse, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. I tell you what, I'm tempted just to go back up there and start reading from verse 50 again, but y'all hang with me and we'll stutter our way through this to get through two more verses. He says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" You know, whenever we see here of these descriptions of what our body is on this side, corruptible, mortal, we are talking about what we are here as we still live here. But whenever the Lord comes back, even those that are not asleep shall be changed. That lets us know that it is not in this form that we'll go to heaven. It's in a perfected form. Keeping the resurrection of the Lord in our memory allows us to continually focus and to keep our eyes on Him. You know, discipleship is a forward-looking walk with the Lord. It's not looking back. It doesn't mean that you can't observe things that took place in times past. It doesn't mean that you can't appreciate things that the Lord's done for you. It doesn't mean that you can't learn from things that you've done wrong. But no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. It's not about looking back. It's about looking forward. And what is a sure event, according to this word that we've got, the furthest off in the horizon that you and I can see? It's the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His descension out of those clouds. Just as the Scripture says in the first chapter of the book of Acts, just as He went up, the Scripture says, so in like manner He shall come down. Amen. And over in the book of 1 Thessalonians in the 4th chapter, the Apostle Paul tells the church, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I tell you and I need to keep the resurrection of the Lord in our minds. Amen. By which also you are saved if you keep in memory. Our memories, our minds are just like any other muscle in our body. And if you put it to no use, if you don't put it to use, I had to correct that double name. If you don't put it to use, it'll go the way of the rest of your muscles of your body. I know that some of you, whenever I was talking about the mind and talking about how mine is not what it used to be, I don't think. And some of you may argue with that, but I tell you, if any of us who understand that we're getting older, which one of us are going to look back is how we were as a healthy teenager and early 20-year-old whenever you're talking about another muscle in your body? You were a lot more fit back then than you are now. Well, the same thing goes with our minds if we don't put them to use and continue to use them. And one of the things that we need to do with them is keep in memory the things that the Apostle Paul preached into the church at Corinth, the things that I pray we try to preach here at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, so that we can be saved and delivered from the things of this world, so that we can look on the Lord and find the rest that is contained therein. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
How firm a foundation be saints of the Lord.
Oh.
consumed, and